This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick, in for Antonia Gonzalez. As violent confrontations continue between Indigenous and non-Indigenous lobster fishermen in Nova Scotia, Canada's senior police officer is defending the Royal Canadian Mounted Police response. Dan Karpinchuk has more.
RCMP Commissioner Brenda Luckey says the RCMP is fully committed to keeping the peace, keeping people safe, and enforcing the law. She also confirmed that additional officers have been dispatched to Nova Scotia. There have been violent confrontations, property destroyed, vandalism, and a lobster plant burned to the ground. That after Indigenous fishermen took to the water out of season, claiming it was their treaty right to fish whenever and wherever they want, a right that was upheld by Canada's highest court 20 years ago, that First Nations had a right to fish to earn a moderate livelihood. But non-Indigenous fishermen want Ottawa to stop the Indigenous harvesting, saying that court ruling also said the government could continue to regulate the fishery. An emergency session in the Canadian Parliament earlier this week failed to find a solution to the issue of just what is a moderate livelihood. The chief of the Sabinakati First Nation, Mike Sachs, says the dispute has cost his band more than $1.5 million and his fishermen are being shut out of the market.
Nobody would deal with us. Like, we'd reached out to so many trying to move lobster, and anyone could buy them with a buyer's license, and nobody will take them. So we have at least like a $1.5 million hit to our community. We can't sell our lobster. Everyone in the area has been told that they will not take our, if they take our lobster, they'll boycott or they'll be blacklisted.
Sachs says it will take time to rebuild relationships in the industry with people and companies who are now afraid of retaliation if they deal with the Indigenous fishermen. Sachs says he wants those responsible to be held accountable. He's also filed an application for a court injunction aimed at any harassment of Indigenous fishermen where the fleet is based. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A Native American tribe in Oregon has become the first in the U.S. to receive full authority to manage its forests. KLCC's Brian Bull reports.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs approved the Coquille Tribe's Indian Trust Asset Management Plan Tuesday. This grants it autonomy over its 10,000 acres of trust forest land and resources, a first for any of the country's 574 federally recognized tribes. Mark Johnston is executive director for the Coquille Indian Tribe.
We're just really excited about the opportunity to be first. We respect the burden that creates going first, because you better do it right or you'll mess it up for those folks that come behind you. And we know we're not going to be the only tribe that considers this because of the value from a sovereignty perspective.
Sovereignty, or self-governance, is a longstanding goal for tribes, and timber is an important resource for the Coquille. Johnston says annual revenues support key programs, including tribal health care and education.
For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
A federal judge ruled Thursday that he will not force the Pima County Recorder to establish an early voting site in a Southern Arizona tribe's reservation next week. Emma Gibson with Arizona Public Media has more.
The Pascuayaki tribe sued Pima County Recorder F.N. Rodriguez in an effort to reinstate an early voting site her office closed in 2018. Jonathan Diaz is part of the tribe's legal team. He says, though this isn't the result they wanted, he knows tribal leaders will continue to advocate for voting opportunities in the reservation.
Members of the Pascuayaki tribe who testified, I think, really highlighted the burdens and the obstacles that tribal members face in accessing early voting without a site on or closer to the reservation.
During the hearing, the tribe argued that with lower car ownership, distrust of voting by mail, and higher rates of underlying conditions, an early in-person voting site in the reservation would benefit its residents. For National Native News, I'm Emma Gibson.
I'm Megan Kamrick.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Sanosky Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Support by BNSF Railway, proudly supporting the nation's economy by moving the goods that feed, supply, and power communities across the country. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.